Welcome back. Nighttime Live continues here on the Mighty 790 KFGO, and he's back with a brand new book. Actually, it's not a brand new book. It's a book that has been moved to a soft cover. It's A Big Little Life, a memoir of a joyful dog named Trixie. As a matter of fact, the other day I was mentioned Dean Koontz, and I said, when you think Dean Koontz, what do you think of? And I got two things that were said, Dean. One was Odd Thomas, and the other was Trixie. That's not bad.
That's good. I'll take that.
this book, I mean, it just shows such a deep devotion to this dog and to all dogs in general, for that matter. But can we back up and tell the folks again how you came about to meeting Trixie and getting Trixie in your household?
Absolutely. We, for years, worked with an organization called Canine Companions for Independence, which breeds, raises, and trains dogs to assist people with severe disabilities, quadriplegics, paraplegics. They even now do dogs for autistic children, socializing dogs. And we saw all the just amazing results of having an assistance dog, how people who could not live alone before were able to live alone because of all the dogs that the dog could do for them, and it was very rewarding to be part of that. And they kept saying to us, let us give you one of our release dogs, and we kept saying, no, we're too busy. And then one day I realized, I'll be 90 saying I'm too busy, I'd better do this while I still can. And we said, all right, and they sent us Trixie, who had been through 2 years of training and actually became an assistant dog and worked with a young woman who'd lost both legs in a traffic accident. But then Trixie, after working as a service dog for 6 months, developed an elbow problem, had to have surgery, and had to leave service. And she came to live with us and proceeded not just to be a pet, but to be a companion, a child, and a mentor who changed our lives.
By the way, that was one thing I found out, too. I didn't realize that they actually technically called it an elbow for a dog.
Yeah, the four legs are elbows, and so it's and when you actually look at them, you can see that it's like a human arm.
Did this dog, like you mentioned briefly, but did this dog help you out as far as your work schedule? Because I know that reading the book, that you probably would have been, you're a workaholic, and if you didn't have time with this dog, who knows what would have happened.
Well, dogs are going to make sure they get their time. And my wife is the same way I am, so we would often work until 7 o'clock or whatever. But when Trixie entered the household, she looked at that the very first or second day. I swear this dog had a clock in her head. No other dog owners have told me the same thing. Not only did they know when their feeding time is a minute or two before and then have their head in your lap looking at you if you've forgotten, but she knew when 5 o'clock rolled around, and somehow knew that's when I ought to stop. So at 5 o'clock, she'd look around the corner of the desk at me, and if I was still there, she'd sit and look at me, staring at me. And if I would continue working after a little bit, she'd come up to the chair and sit looking at me. And then a little bit after that, she'd be crawling under the desk to put her head up in my lap. And she would make you laugh so much you just couldn't go forward. You had to stop. Okay, you're right. It's time to go out and play. And within about a week, she had me stopped 5 o'clock. That meant I would get up earlier, but it did mean I took my evenings off, and that was a whole revolutionary new thing.
I was going to say, they have a very keen perception of time, just like you mentioned, right?
Yeah, in the book, I talk about a lot of things we're told about dogs that, and even sometimes by the experts, that are obviously not correct, and you wonder about the people who are supposedly experts. But one of the things they say is dogs have no real sense of time. So if you leave them alone for 3 hours of dinner, they don't know whether it's 3 hours or 10 minutes. And boy, that isn't true. They know exactly what time it is and where it is. And we always were amazed that Trixie had her schedule. She knew when she goes out on a walk, and she would be right there at the desk ready to be taken, and she knew when she was supposed to get food, and she knew when everything was supposed to happen, and when quitting time was. But when daylight savings time comes, she adjusted immediately.
Really?
And that always amazed me. Twice a year when the time changed, her schedule changed. And I've always thought, I always used to think, how is that possible? I mean, how could she know that it was daylight savings time? And Anna, the dog we've had after her, does not have that same thing, but Trixie did have that. She knew what time it was, no matter if it was daylight savings or regular.
Yeah, because I was told with our dog a while back, went to a training, he said, well, if she does something wrong, correct her immediately, because 5 minutes later, she'll forget. I don't know if that's true or not. I think they remember. I think that's just kind of a little excuse for them, don't you?
I think so. One of the things I talk about in the book is they also tell us that dogs do not remember, you know, their parents or their litter mates. And I have a story in the book about where we went to an event at Canine Companions where there were hundreds of people at it, and we parked up near the mission and had a walk down this hill, and she drugged me like a mule, and she didn't do that, but she pulled me down that hill as fast as she would not relent, pulled me across the street, across the lawn of Canine Companion, in among all these people, and Gerda was keeping up with us, and we wended our way through, and there's like 200 dogs because it's an open house or something, and there's all these people with lots of dogs, and she goes to the very farthest end of people and dogs up to this dog and puts her nose up against its nose, and their tails are going. And I said to the woman, because she interrupted the conversation this woman's having with somebody, I said, I'm sorry, I just couldn't control her. And she said, do you know who this dog is? And I said, no. She said, it's one of her litter mates. So Trixie got out of that car, smelled that litter mate, and she was at that time probably 8 or 9 years old. She remembered that that was her litter mate.
Wow. Wow. A beautiful dog, Trixie. A Big Little Life is the name of the book, a memoir of a joyful dog. This is Dean Koontz, our special guest here on KFGO. By the way, speaking of things as far as relationships, I understand your current dog is a descendant of Trixie, right?
We didn't know this. After we lost Trixie, we were my wife said, I can never go through that loss again. I just can't. And I said, well, you'll feel differently in time because it's too much joy in your life to have the dog. We don't want to live without it. But I knew what she meant because I couldn't have done it right away either. So it took me about 6 months. It took her 8 months. And then we said to CCI, yes, we'll take another dog. And that ended up being Anna, who failed out of the program. She wasn't as successful as Trixie. She went through 22 months of the 24, but they had to cashier her because they couldn't break her from being distracted by birds. And you can't be distracted when you're a service dog. But she came to us, and they brought her, and they said, now she's shy, so and she won't want to go anywhere without you. She likes to stay close. So let's walk her around the property. And they took her collar off, and like a shot, she went running down the hall and disappeared. And she went all through the house on her own and came back to us and came up and sat beside us and looked up like, okay, this will be just fine. And she wasn't at all shy, and they were surprised by that. And she fell right in here. It was perfect. She looked almost exactly like Trixie. It was kind of eerie. And then a couple of months went by, and they called us from CCI and saying, we were getting her papers ready to send you, and we discovered something we didn't know. Anna's father was Trixie's litter mate, our grandfather. So she's about two steps removed from Trixie, and that's I'm more steps removed from Kevin Bacon than that. So, you know, it's
The book, I found one particular portion here that has happened in my life, and I guess I want to let you go through it too. But I understand while walking the dog or out one time walking Trixie that Trixie was bit by another dog that came across. Can you talk briefly about what happened there?
Well, when she was bitten, there were a couple of rowdy dogs in the neighborhood, so we always carried pepper spray. It won't harm a dog, but it'll stop an attack, and then it washes out of the eyes. So we were walking, and we were coming up a street, and I didn't even know there was a dog on the street, and we passed a wall between properties, and right there was an immense German Shepherd, and it was sitting, and it wasn't on a leash, and there was this young boy, probably 9 years old, playing in a tree, and I saw the German Shepherd, and I immediately stopped Anna, and it didn't charge us or anything, and I began to turn her around, and the boy said, yeah, you better run. He was a nice little juvenile delinquent.
Man.
And I looked back and said, what? And he said, did his dog sick him? And the dog charged us. And fortunately, I had the pepper spray, but he still managed to nip Anna and tear a little skin off, and it took every spray can, I think there's five or six, I forget, but it took that many to finally dissuade the dog that he shouldn't keep this up. But he was gone for a throat, and if I hadn't had the pepper spray, there would have been much worse consequences. So I've never used it since, but it's good to have.
Was she apprehensive then afterwards of going for more walks?
You know, I expected she would be, and we took her right away to the... I didn't initially know she was hurt. I felt around the area, and I didn't see anything. And then I took her home, and she just walked like normal, and I brought her home, and told Gerda what had happened. And she said, where was she bitten? And I went to look down, and it was bloody. But it had taken time to soak through the fur. And I thought, she'll be apprehensive and fearful of other dogs after this. But she never really was. She got over it. She was just fine.
There, you mentioned that she was retired from CCI, and you also mentioned that later on in her life, that same incident with the elbow happened yet again. Must have been some shocking things in your mind. Oh, my goodness, what's going to happen now?
Well, it's she had a number of surgeries in her life, two elbows, and that was bad enough. One of them was done before she got to us. But then one day she froze on the stairs and just gave me this look and went, eek. That was all. She's very stoic. She and I realized something was wrong because she wouldn't climb any further. I had to lift her up and carry her up the rest of the stairs and took her to the doctor. It turned out she had pinched nerve in the lower part of the spine. She had a spinal surgery, and I write about that in the book, and about the Dr. Death, the first doctor I took her to, who just about killed her with anesthesia just to do the test in the MRI, and took her 24 hours to fully come out of the anesthesia. And I decided that was not the person to do the surgery, but we found another surgeon and went through that. But it's a terrible thing when you know you're having spinal surgery on this little creature you love, and what's going to happen? There's all kind of terrible things could happen, but fortunately, none of them did.
I guess I'm asking you, if somebody asks you what's your all-time favorite moment with Trixie, what would that be?
Oh, there's so many of them that I don't know that I could pick just one. Some of the stories in the book are much too long. It'd take me 5 minutes to tell it. But there was the one about where she we were working. Trixie never barked. She'd go a year and not bark. And I was working one Saturday at my desk, and suddenly she barked, and I shot straight up out of my chair. And she had a very loud voice. And I said, quiet, quiet. And she barked again, and I said, Trixie. And she padded out and over to Gerda's office, heard her barking at Gerda. And a minute later, she's back barking at me. And suddenly it dawned on me, stupid as I am, that this is a Lassie moment, and Timmy must have fallen down a well or something. So I said, okay, what is it? Show me. And she took off running down the hall and down the main hall and across the living room, and I'm following her, thinking, what is this about? And as I'm getting to the end of the living room, I suddenly smell something burning. And we go into the kitchen, and I see flames inside the oven and smoke coming out of the vents. And I went over and looked into the oven, and this sounds like a scene out of a Dean Koontz novel, but there was a burning hand in the oven. And after I recoiled in shock, I realized it was an oven mitt. And we were heating the oven for pizza and had left a mitt in there, and it was standing on end. It looked like a hand. I thought it was about to wave at me as it was burning. And that could have turned into a major fire, but she managed to persist until we started paying attention. And so I credit her with our still having our house intact.
Before I let you go here, I do want to mention CCI again. Now, last time we talked, I know that we've had a young mother with her autistic son. They're going to be ready to go down to, I think it's Florida, where they're going to be going to get trained a little bit later on. Hopefully, they'll find the correct dog. But CCI is such a wonderful organization, and how can people help out with that group?
Well, I think you just go to cci.org and Canine Companions for Independence.org, and I think that's it. I should know. I've worked with them for so long, but and these are life-changing experiences for everybody. And anybody's looking for time to do something, and there's a CCI chapter anywhere near you, you can't do anything better with your volunteer time, because it's enormously rewarding.
And by the way, we have a CCI dog the puppy being raised here in Fargo. I've met her already. In fact, she's on my webpage, folks, if you want to take a peek at her. I know that nobody can replace Trixie, but how's Anna doing?
Anna's she's just doing great. She's you know, each one of them is a little individual. She's not the same, but she's actually, if anything, even a little more loving. She's always wants to be right glued to you, and she's adorable. She has her own little quirks and twitches and things, but I just the other day saw the first little gray hairs on her chin, and I thought, oh, no. But she's only 5, so we should have quite a long time yet.
By the way, I know a lot of people, too, who have not read Dean Koontz, have picked up this book just to read about dogs. There are a lot of dog lovers out there, and it's a great book. Available everywhere, obviously, but now in softcover, right?
Yeah, it's in softcover, A Big Little Life.
Okay, and what's next for Dean Koontz?
Well, I'm working on a novel called 77 Shadow Street, and as soon as I finish that, I have to start The Fifth Odd Thomas, and I want to have that out at least by the time the movie of the first one comes out. So.
And Anna will be by your side, I'm sure.
Anna will be here, yeah. She'll be keeping me straight and true and narrow.
A big Little Life, a memoir of a joyful dog named Trixie. Dean Koontz, thank you once again for joining us here in Fargo on KFGO.
Thanks for having me there again.